الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of understanding and listening to the teachings of the Holy Quran in the sanctity of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, in today's lecture we will look into and analyze the exegesis and the explanation of Surah Al-Duha, which is a Makki surah, and it is of 11 verses. In this surah, from this point onwards till the end of the Quran, everything we have covered so far, for many of these surahs we mentioned in the previous lecture too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lists and speaks about many of the blessings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been blessed with. And when we speak about the blessings that anybody has been blessed with, we are in fact praising them. And we are identifying their qualities. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Quran is finishing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention constantly and consistently and continuously to the unparalleled being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah. Now there is a short story behind the revelation of this surah. And the story is that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hurt his blessed finger. And blood began to come out of the blessed finger, the blessed wound of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam affectionately looked at the blood, and he looked at his blessed finger, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ دَمِيتِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيتِ. This hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, narrated on the authority of Hazrat Jundub radiallahu ta'ala an. Hadith number 6146. And what he means is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the blessed finger and said that you are but a finger. Hal anti illa isba'un damiti, which has bled. Wa fi sabilillahi ma naqiti. And whatever difficulty has befallen you, it is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that whatever difficulty, it is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's entire life was spent carrying out the commandments of Rasulullah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after this, what happened was that for a period of time that was longer than usual, the revelation of wahi, the tradition of the revelation of wahi stopped for a period of time. And subsequently, the mushrikeen of Mecca, they became aware of this, and they would never let a moment go where they could find an opportunity to taunt and to give displeasure and discomfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says that, and in some narrations it mentioned that the sort of main person doing this was the wife of Abu Lahab, Umm Jamil. We mentioned before that she has also been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, in the Tabbat Yada. And she began to, along with others, began to taunt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying that, look, you know, revelation stop now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah, Allah has abandoned you, Allah is displeased with you. And she was trying to cause Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some discomfort. And as a consequence of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses to dispel such accusations and insinuations and rumors and assumptions, and to give comfort and contentment and happiness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some narrations it's mentioned that because of this also, during this period, there was one or two nights when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not manage to wake up to pray tahajjud as well. This was something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was habitual of, and so this was also out of the norm. With regards to the delay of wahi, it has happened on many occasions. One such occasion we've already spoke about in the tafsir of Surah Al-Alaq, the very beginning of Islam. After the initial revelation, there was a very long period of time, according to some scholars, around 2.5 years, where revelation did not come down. And this was a very difficult time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was also known as Fatratul Wahy, this period of time. Another time when such incident occurred was when the Jews, according to some narrations, it was the Jews, and according to some narrations, it was the polytheists of Mecca. They questioned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the soul. So in the Quran, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this questioning, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِلًا, in the 15th juz in Surah Bani Israel. Now, initially when this line of questioning happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will tell you, you know, like later or tomorrow. But my Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam forgot to say insha'Allah. So then later they came again, no revelation had come, but then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. That when you are going to say that I am going to do something tomorrow, then you should always say insha'Allah. This verse is in the 15th juz also in Surah Al-Kahf. Yeah. So this was an admonishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a reminder, again, this forgetting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not against the shan and the excellency and the perfection of prophethood. It's something that is within human nature, and it does not go against the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this has happened previously. This was also another occasion when this moment happened, where for a prolonged period of time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make any revelation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well within his rights to delay when he wants to. We have to understand, Allah is not bound by any human laws. Time and space and a short period of time and a long period of time, these things are simply things that are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only viewed from a human perspective. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well within his rights to delay wahi when he wants to, and to make wahi come quickly when he wants to. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is within his right. He is the Malik. He is the Khaliq. He is everything, and we are nothing. And we have no right to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live in a time, in an era, where we are encouraged to question everything. Question everything. Why? What? Why? Who? Why? Sometimes when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no right to question why. So we should really be careful about our line of questioning when it comes to matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that we are but the creation, we are but the slaves. We do as we are commanded to do. And if Allah has not asked us to question certain aspects of his existence, then we should not question. We should do as we are told. Sami'na wa ata'na, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the chapter with a qasam, an oath. We mentioned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath. He is the only one that is allowed to take an oath on the makhluk, on the creation. We are not allowed to take an oath on the creation. We are only allowed to take an oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, we have mentioned before, but just as a reminder, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, often there are two things. The firstly, there is that Allah subhanahu, when you are drawing attention to some creation, often you are drawing attention to the individual, to the being who created this creation. So often Allah is drawing our attention to himself, that look at the creator of such a thing. Number two, often there is a connection between the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath upon and the subject matter of the chapter. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Allah takes an oath on two things. Allah takes an oath on the morning, وَالضُّحَى, the morning time, the crack of dawn, the morning hours. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and by the night. So the second thing that Allah takes an oath upon is the night. So the morning and the night. إِذَا سَجَى. So سَجَى here has two meanings. سَجَى يُسَجِّي means to cover, to cover. And saja means to calm, to become calm. So both meanings can be interpreted here. Some mufassirin have used one meaning, some mufassirin have used the other meaning. Both are fine to use. You'll find in translations as well, both some translators use one meaning, other translators use other meanings. So the first meaning would be when the night, when it covers. What does it cover? It covers up the day, doesn't it? So right now, we are heading towards the sunset. The whole sky is enlightened. But slowly what will start happening from the eastern side is when you start looking, very soon, darkness will start creeping up. And it slowly, it covers the entire sky. So by Isha time, by late 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, the entire sky will be dark. The second meaning is, and that by the night, when it calms. So what this means is, you know, the day is usually very vibrant. There's a lot of hustle, bustle, people walking, talking. There's cars driving everywhere, people honing and shouting and screaming and all lots of things going on. school, madrasa, work, people coming back, traffic. And then nighttime comes and generally everything's very quiet, very calm. If someone was to scream, you know, many hundreds of people would be able to hear it. You know, you can hear sirens in the far distance. Small, small noises you can hear from far, because generally nighttime everything is calm. So this is the second meaning of the word saja. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord has not forsaken you. Ma wadda'aka, your Lord has not forsaken you. Wa ma qala, and neither is he displeased, neither has he become displeased. This was obviously in opposition to the Quraysh, who had spread the rumor and who had made this assumption that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had abandoned Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was displeased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu billahi min dhalika aydan. Now, the answer to this is very simple. How do we know? A question can arise. How do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not displeased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And how do we know that this was not the reason for the delay of wahi? For this, a very simple answer is, a sin needs to be committed. A sin needs to be committed to invite or invoke the wrath and the anger, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the rule that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that He has made the anbiya, alayhim as-salatu wasalam, all of the anbiya, all of the prophets, He has made them ma'soom anil khata. He has made them infallible. So to say that they did not ever, as humans they had the ability to commit sin, but they did not ever commit a sin. So obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be displeased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the seal of prophethood. He was the imam, the leader of all the prophets. He was the most infallible. He did not ever commit a sin. And he did not invite the wrath or the displeasure or the abandonment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately, very, very early in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam content and happy and calm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the surah with, don't worry, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord has not abandoned you. Your Lord is not displeased with you. Do not become affected by the insinuations of the Quraysh. Do not become affected by their taunts. These are enemies. Enemies will do that. This is the way of enemies. And it's a lesson to all of us as well, that when enemies taunt us, we should not fall for it. Why? Because they are enemies. What do enemies want from us? They want us to become uncomfortable. They want us to become unhappy. They don't want us to be able to sleep at night. This is the same thing with shaitan. Yeah, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Shaitan is constantly whispering evil things into our ears and then into our hearts. And he will make us be paranoid. He will make us feel uncomfortable. And often these are just doubts created by shaitan. Sometimes we get an evil feeling about a friend, about a family member. Oh, you know, that guy, he's a bit dodgy, man. He's always after me all the time, you know? This paranoid feeling, oh, I'm not sure, man. He acts like my friend, but he might be saying things behind my back. Wallahi, so many times, it is but the whispering of shaitan. He is trying to cause rifts between friends of Allah, and he is trying to cause fights between brothers. This is what shaitan does. This is what our enemies do. They try to split us up. They try to split us apart. As a mu'min, as a Muslim, we should try to find excuses for our brothers. Without being naive, we should try to always find excuses for our brothers for mistakes that they might have made, and always think good of people. Without being naive, this is also a key to adopt moderation in all matters. So we have to ensure that we are not we do not fall folly to the whispers of the shayateen, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is giving some contentment to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your Lord is not displeased with you. And the underlying meaning here is that, and this is what the Mufassirin have explained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with, and this is what connects onto the next verse as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with so much in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this first part is in terms of wahi, in terms of revelation, that Allah has given you so much, and Allah will continue to give it. Do not become displeased, and do not become, you know, disheartened. Allah has not abandoned you. He's going to continue giving you revelation, and He's going to continue blessing you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And most definitely, the hereafter is better for you than the world. Here there are two possible meanings. The first meaning seems to be the more widely accepted meaning, that the words are on their literal meaning. Akhirah means hereafter. The hereafter is better for you than the first. Meaning, ula, yani, min ad-dunya. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with so many blessings in this world. Yani, min al-nubuwa, and hikmah, and wisdom, and knowledge. Wal akhiratu khayrun lak min al-ula. That the akhirah, the hereafter, Allah is going to bless you with even more blessings than He has blessed you in this world. So it was glad tidings upon glad tidings for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one such blessing we have mentioned in the akhirah is the maqam-e mahmood. Yeah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this position will be given to none other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Kawthar, we mentioned in Surah Al-Kawthar, Inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar, wa ghayra dhalik. So there's many, many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dunya, and many, many more in the akhirah as well. From all perspectives, the dunya is better than the akhirah, because the dunya is infinite, the dunya is endless, and the akhirah is infinite, the akhirah is endless, the dunya is but a deception that is going to end very, very soon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to prepare for the akhirah before death comes to us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The second possible meaning here is that the entire verse is talking about the dunya. But what it means here is that the later part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better than the earlier part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what this means is that each day, look, in the earlier time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, there was a time when wahi and revelation had not come to him yet. So obviously, if you compare the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had become a prophet and the time pre-Islamic time, the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a prophet, of course, the time when the Prophet ﷺ was a prophet, the Prophet ﷺ had a higher status than when he wasn't a prophet. What he's trying to say is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was born, he already had a very high status. But as each day went on in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his status became higher and higher and higher and higher, to a point that in the last moments of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life, he would have reached an extremely unfathomable status, a spiritual status. And also, this is something that is understood that is not just specifically for the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it's also for the Sahaba, and for the Tabi'een, and the Salafi Saliheen, and the elders, and the pious people that we have today. For example, our Hazrat Shaykh مولاي يوسف متعالى رحمه الله تعالى رحمة واسعة passed away in 2019. And I studied with Hadith Shaykh Rahimullah in 2017-18. So after Hazrat Rahmatullahi passed away, just 1 year after our graduation, we used to speak about Hazrat Rahimullah with our friends and classmates. And we used to sort of have this regret, and we used to say that, you know, we wish we were born earlier, so we would have seen Hazrat Rahmatullahi earlier and spent more time with Hazrat Rahmatullahi. However, one of our friends, he mentioned that the Akabirin, the elders, our elders have written in the past that a person who sometimes he only gets the final year or 2 years or 3 years of the life of a pious person, the spiritual power of these final years can be equivalent sometimes to decades of previous years. Because we've got to understand that the final years, that pious person is at the height of their spiritual power. And so this information sort of gave us a little bit of contentment and happiness. Alhamdulillah, we managed to spend many hours in the company of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. And honestly, I am a very, very sinful person, and I am a very, very low person. And often these spiritual, spiritual things are only detected by those who have a very clean heart themselves. But at times even I would sort of notice how spiritually charged the company of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was. I am but nothing but the lowest of the low in terms of this. But it is true. The reason why I'm mentioning this is I desperately feel like it is important, especially for our youngsters, to identify those spiritual powers that we have amongst us today. Often we don't recognize them, we don't understand them, they speak in a different language. But it is so important for us to understand these people and to spend time with these people, because a time will come when they are no longer with us, and then the opportunity will have gone, and we will live with nothing but regret. Give an example, we have very, very pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our company. For example, our Imam Sahib, Mufti Salih Sahib, Mufti Abdullah Sahib, we have Mufti Ikramul Haq Sahib, Hazrat Sufi Tahir Sahib. We should make an effort, whether we understand the language or we don't understand the language, to create a relationship with these people and to spend time in their company. Why? To try to give an example, especially to the young people who may be listening today. If you take an example of if we are all going to an event, let's just say we are going to visit the World Cup final. Just as an example for the children, for the youngsters, for my young brothers. And we know that in our company today, we are going to set off and we're going to make this journey to the World Cup final, whichever country it's in. And here we have Muhammad Salah and we have other famous footballers. And we know that if we go with any of them, we will get front seats at the World Cup final. What will we do? Will we say, no, I'm just going to go with my dad, or I'm just going to go with my brother? Or will we make our utmost effort to join Muhammad Salah's group or any other famous footballer's group? No, we will make our utmost effort. And no, I want to go with the famous people. So when I get to the World Cup final, I'll get, into the executive box and I'll get the best seats. And over there, I'll be able to see all the best footballers in the world. We will definitely, most definitely make this effort. My brothers, we are very soon going on to a journey to the Akhirah. And when we get to the Akhirah, we need to ensure that we have the company and we have a relationship with such people who can get us to the highest stages of Jannah. Yeah? It is the relationships that we create in this world that will send us to these places, into the rahmah and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected brothers, many, many have gone. Many have already made that journey. We have missed the opportunity to build relationships with them and to spend time in their company. My respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O believers, fear Allah and be with the truthful ones. So, we need to ensure that we identify these pious individuals and make an effort to spend time in their company. For a time is going to come when we will make that journey to the Akhirah. And if we have not spent time in this world to make relationships with these individuals, these pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we have not taken time out and invested time to spend in their company, what are we going to do tomorrow? That is the question I questioned myself. What am I going to do? Many have already gone, and we understand from the apparent that these people are very pious, and we have a strong belief that they will be going straight to Jannah. And we want to be with them when that time comes. So it is important that we identify these pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We build relationships with them. We spend time in their company. We take their advice on how to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hope is that we are weak, but through our proximity to them, we will manage to sneak in to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoid the questioning and avoid the punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the company of the pious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in Jannatul Firdaus with the company of our elders, our teachers, the scholars of the past, the tabi'een, the tabi tabi'een, the sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, and most importantly and most desperately, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us and He gives us the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Firdaus al-A'la. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.